Thank you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our Live Paranormal Radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Welcome in, everyone. It is Thursday, February 25th. I'm Dave. This is Jim. We are one half of Keystone State Paranormal Society. This is Penetrating the Veil with call-in guest Steve Hummel tonight of Paranormal Quest and the owner of the Archives of the Afterlife Paranormal Museum. He's just moved.
Yeah.
Within the past, say, month.
Yeah.
So he'll be calling in, talking about the new location and some of the new footage they've just dropped on YouTube, I believe, right?
Yeah, with the Moundsville prison.
Okay. So let me get to the blog talk page so I can see when he calls in.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're again here from the Hoover House. We're working our butt off this week. So we're a little under the weather from exhaustion here. It's been an interesting week. Haven't really done much in the way of investigation. Are we on still?
Yeah, we're still on.
Okay. Haven't done much in the way of investigation. We are going to, when we finish our broadcast tonight, though, we've got psychic medium Kyla Miner here, and I think we're going to do a little session of table tipping just for the heck of it, sort of try to keep connected with the spirits. We've done a few minor sessions mixed in with all of the working. And it's been pretty interesting. One of the spirits of the house, the original owner, Ira, has told us that we have 13 resident ghosts, and we haven't met all 13 yet. We've probably met, I think, 7 or 8 of them at least. And then we've had a couple that have introduced themselves as new move-ins since we came in. So. We've got an ongoing quest in finding out about potentially the spirits who reside in this house. The other thing we're sort of finding out is Waynesboro as a city is relatively untapped in terms of the paranormal. There really hasn't been, I don't think, that much investigation by groups or individuals in the area, and just getting around and talking to a lot of the local owners and that, it doesn't seem it's too uncommon to have spirits in the house. We've had a couple friends who've come to visit us, and they've told us how spirits, they've been sort of lit up by various homes or whatnot getting here. So it seems within about a half a mile of here, we have quite a few different units that have activity. So we're going to be trying to get out here and checking them out, and hopefully, if we can get cooperation from some of the owners,
doesn't matter if it's over case or
we will probably. Be arranging investigations in the future. So,
okay.
Obviously, we'll have the Hoover House available for investigations, but we're looking at having some other facilities in the near area as well. And then, of course, Pam and Steve and their friends back in Gettysburg and their connections there, they still be offering investigations at their usual haunts and whatnot. So, We have a Facebook page up. That's, what is it, the Historic 1912 Hoover House. So if you flip over and look at that page, Pam's been posting a bunch of information there. We've got some of the history of the house, some of the owners. It is an interesting history. A number of people have passed away in this house, both the original owner and some 14 years later, his daughter and his only child. They both suffered fatal heart attacks in this house and died in this home. So that's two. Pam and Steve found a friend of theirs who had his mother-in-law passed away in this house when it was a nursing home. And we're picking up on several spirits already that have identified themselves as being former residents of this place when it was a nursing home. And they're just sort of, they like being here. It's a nice looking place, and it does have its own charms and warmth. So, anyhow, we really don't have a handle yet on how many people passed away here, but needless to say, it was probably quite a few, especially when it was tied in as a nursing home. The only former owners that had passed away here were Ira and his daughter, Eleanor. So, and the house has really only seen a limited number of owners over the years. I think we're the seventh, we figured out we're the seventh group to own the house. So, for a house of its age, it hasn't had a lot of turnover, and the people in the past have really done a great job at keeping up the facility. So that's really been nice.
And it has very nice detailed features, such as if you were able to see the bar, the giant mirror at the back side of the bar has an etching in it with the 1912 Hoover House on it. And here I can pull these pocket doors shut, and you'll be able to see also that these have very beautiful frosted glass in them, which is one of the things that drew me, to find detail like that. As old as the place is, a lot of the woodwork and detail in the carpentry is still in unbelievably good shape. Quite honestly, as nice as the former owners were, and we've got to meet them both, lovely people, we almost kind of feel bad taking it from at the price we did, because it was just, wow, what a deal.
A lot seemed to just fall into place to make this possible, and I've had a couple friends, some psychic mediums who were, I think, working for us, and we really feel that we've had a lot of activity from beyond, sort of working for us, and things just came into play.
The cosmic force is kind of aligned.
Every so often, I guess the little guy wins one. So, anyhow,
even a blind squirrel can find a nut once in a while?
Yeah. So, there's so much we haven't touched on. I have not been in the basement yet. Supposedly, there's several resident spirits down in the basement. There was a bar at one time in the basement.
Called the coal mine.
Called the coal mine. This was twice in its past. This was an upscale restaurant.
Yes.
This current bar was for the latest restaurant, but there was also an attempt earlier. For a number of years, it was a restaurant, and that's the bar that served in that period as sort of a lounge and whatnot.
Yes, yes.
And it was even
the detail taken in that, from what I've been told, was very meticulous. Even so much so that you entered through the storm doors down the basement. So they tried to make it as authentic as they could for what it was supposed to be, because of the rich history in the area of mining and so forth. So the men's bathroom down there is, instead of saying men's, it says mules, and on the female's bathroom, instead of saying women or ladies, it says canaries, right, because of them using canaries in the mines to detect when something was wrong.
And the community's been very welcoming.
Yeah.
We're going to be joining them in hosting Founders Day coming up next month.
What's that?
It's for the founding of the town.
Founding of the town, and they've asked us to help them host that. And
then we've got
give tours through the house for people in the neighborhood and things like that.
End of March, we have a joint venture with the local movie house on the Titanic, since this home was built.
The Titanic went down.
So that's a little interesting tie-in, and we're probably going to try to get some historians to talk about that period, and we'll have some, like, a luncheonette or something up here.
And we're trying to find as many things as we can that first came to be in the year 1912, the year the Titanic went down, such as lifesavers and
Oreo cookies. Nabisco came into being, National Biscuit Company.
Right.
One interesting note, probably about four blocks up from us on the same side of the street, is the town movie house. This was a movie house that closed in the 60s. It underwent renovation, and it operated as a local town theater for a short period before COVID closed it, and the town got the movie theater back. It's all brand new. They've got about 130 seats in it and a modern projector. And anyhow, with some initial inquiries, we did a walkthrough theater, picked up on a few energies. No, we were not doing an investigation. We had no equipment with us. But we've been told by a number of the psychic mediums we've worked with that there are at least two, if not three, spirits there. Don't really know their nature or who they were. So we're going to try to arrange here in the next couple of weeks to have an investigation with the team, and we'll see what goes down in the theater. And if we come up with some interesting activity, looks like they're on board to have it as a potential site. So that's always neat to investigate a movie house.
So we'll hopefully, if things go well, we'll have at least by this time next year, hopefully three, maybe four, or even five separate locations in and around town that we could host investigations at. And I believe that is our buddy.
That would work well.
So let's go ahead and get him in. Hello, Steve. How are you?
How are you? Good folks here real quick.
Thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah, no problem. One second.
I know you've had a lot going on here lately, and I guess that was one of the things I wanted you to touch base on tonight. If our audience has not taken that opportunity yet, let me encourage you to do so. Steve is the owner and the main operator for a very unique museum in America. And Steve, I'm going to let you tell them about your museum, and also if you could touch base with a lot of the changes that have occurred here recently.
Okay, yeah. Well, my museum is called the Archive of the Afterlife, the National Museum of the Paranormal. It's in the process of being relocated from where it was in the former Sanford Community Center to an 11-room house in a neighboring town known as Cameron, West Virginia.
Okay.
It has haunted items, cursed items, historical items. It originally was intended to be a harbor for haunted items and also to feature individuals and groups that represent the paranormal field, and to document their work, their history. But it's kind of turned into a multifaceted entity, if you will.
Yeah, I noticed how, Jim and I have been there several times, and each time it was just growing and growing, and you went from the original, I guess, one room that you had to another room across the hallway, and that didn't seem to hold everything that you had. You just kind of we're running out of space for all the things that you were acquiring and people were donating and things like that. And I noticed that every time I went, something new caught my attention and made me just kind of stand and pay attention to that item.
Yeah, yeah, and that happens a lot with folks. Certain items, certain energy off certain items resonates differently with you know, people, with visitors. We started off in a small room off of my diner that I had on Jefferson Avenue. It was a small poker room originally that someone else had had. And then once I moved to the Sanford Center, we took over one classroom, and then it became two classrooms. And now, with this new location, it's an 11-room house.
Wow.
And even now, with the items I have, it's not stuffed just yet, but it already seems like it's filling up more than I anticipated already.
Wow.
I guess that's both a good and a bad thing, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's you know, with me, I love getting out there looking for the haunted items and collecting their stories and their history. And I tend to be kind of aggressive with that because, you know, a lot of people now like to collect haunted items and investigate them and different things like that. And that's great. That means these items are getting off the street, getting out of people's houses and getting into the hands of people who will take care of them or deal with them accordingly if it is a negative type of situation.
For anybody who hasn't been in Steve's museum, if you have any psychic connections when you walk in, it is an energy overload. It depends where you're at. Oh, my gosh. Some of the dolls particularly just like – they just draw you like a magnet.
And for those of you who have sensibilities and aren't aware of it, if you go in that museum, it'll become readily apparent because you may not even know that you have any abilities as far as communication with the other side personally. But once you walk into that place, you're gonna get hit with such a force of energy that you'll know, and that's in a good way. I know, if I'm not mistaken, Jim, I think the first time that we actually went there specifically for the museum and the Sanford Center was shortly after he had acquired the cap that they would put on the prisoners' heads during the executions.
Yeah.
And that was a fascinating deal.
And then, by all means, Steve was a former tour guide at the famous Moundsville Prison, West Virginia State Pen, and he has a wealth of knowledge about the facility, and of course that's received so much notoriety, and I guess that segues to your group now is actively engaged in putting on a YouTube presentation. Is that correct?
We've had a YouTube channel for probably about going on 9 years now. Actually, interesting enough, the most recent episode that we've aired this past week was, in fact, at the former West Virginia State Penitentiary, and it was probably one of the more intense investigations we've had for quite some time.
When did you do this investigation, Steve? The one that you just aired.
Let me try to think here. It was, I believe it was right before we did a week long trip into New England to film at two other locations. So
wow.
About a week and a half before it was aired, we had to really try to get it out there to keep on our schedule, trying to keep our episodes every 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, you were up in the Salem area, correct?
Yeah, we visited there. We visited in Salem and just kind of saw the sights and just...
How was your experiences there?
Well, see, when we were in Salem, that was just kind of our free day. We weren't filming at all in Salem.
Okay.
But it was kind of all on our bucket list. We wanted to see some sights and just kind of have a vacation day, if you will, because prior to that, on the Friday and the Sunday before the last day we were in Salem, we had filmed at two other locations. So Salem was just kind of us treating ourselves and just enjoying the food, enjoying the historical locations.
For anybody who hasn't been to Salem, it truly is. I mean, you don't have to be into anything paranormal to enjoy it. From the history aspect and the in its day, I believe Salem was like the third wealthiest city in the country at one point because of the with the whaling ships and all that stuff going on in the New England area, and you had some of the first real wealthy families of America were in that area. And if you go examine that, you'll see how those families and getting into that, you had a lot of that whole thing with the real young children before the child labor laws, and they were working in the factories and with the garments, and all those kids were dying young of lung disease from all the, inhaled cotton and whatnot.
From the textiles.
So it's really, and then of course you've got all the famous authors and all that. So there's just such a blend of history, even above the witch trials and all that. So I would strongly suggest anybody who likes American history to certainly take that area in, because there's just so many different avenues. And then just outside, you then get into the Revolutionary War aspects and Lexington Concord and stuff.
Yeah, the Salem was just amazing. It was one of the very few cities that just kind of felt like it just absorbs you into itself. You know, it was really hard to separate myself from like the energy of just the town itself. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've heard. Now I haven't been up there in the Halloween time, but I've heard that it is a real bucket list for people into the Halloween, as they get out on the green and all the costuming and all that, and of course you've got all that background history with Ichabod Crane and all that stuff.
Yeah, we actually, on our way up, we stopped to just visit Sleepy Hollow, New York, and apparently the cemetery there is a private cemetery. We didn't know that, so we, I wouldn't say we were kindly asked to leave, but we were made to leave the cemetery.
Oh. Very good.
So while you were up there, I don't want to ask if it's going to give some away on something you haven't aired yet. So if you can't answer, I understand that. But if possible, could you tell us what locations you were filming at up there?
I think anything I would say about either one of the two locations would be would kind of give them away.
Okay.
But they
will
be coming out very soon.
We don't want to do that. We want to watch the episodes on your YouTube channel. So.
I will say this on one of them. We had a very awesome guest that we had via Skype, if you will, I think, or something like that. That person that was nice enough to spend some time with us through a video will be also featured on one of the investigations.
And for the audience there, for those that want to capture exploits on YouTube, you want to give them your access and stuff, the name of your show?
Yeah. Just jump on YouTube and type in Paranormal Quest, Quest. And all the videos will be up. We also have a PQ Vlogs. That's where we just put up our random videos where we're just, whether we're goofing off or behind the scenes or, you know, stuff that we can't really put on our the serious channel, if you will.
Now, I know, obviously, there's still a lot of restrictions and travel still somewhat limited with the COVID and that, but I guess most of us are hoping that things start to ease off and back off. We've been, I don't know if I'm praying this comes true. We've sort of been told by spirits going back to last year that by May of this year, we'll start at least feeling some sense of relief or easing of the impact of COVID. I hope they're right. But do you still, with your new with your still location and with the museum and that, do you still plan on hosting? I know you had a number of events at the old Sanford School in the past. You know, I know you had some haunted relics, special things, and put on a couple paracons and that. Is that still in the cards for you guys?
As for the Grave City paracon that I do, the one that I used to do at the in the auditorium.
Right.
Are you guys still there? Okay.
Yes.
I think we're going in and out here, maybe. I'm not quite sure about that just yet. With the new location, I won't have a lot of room to really house vendors in it.
Okay.
The big room that it's in right now already has 3 embalming tables in it, so I don't know how much room we're going to have. But right down in the middle of town, though, they do have a VFW, and I think like an area, like a little rental hall area. I really haven't done a lot of the footwork for that yet, which I do plan on doing.
Okay.
Here
so that's
soon.
Something that's possible in the future.
Yeah, but I don't have the date. Shoot. I know Paranormal Quest, we are hosting the Paracon at the former West Virginia State Penitentiary this year.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
I don't have the dates on hand, but if you go to Paranormal Quest on Facebook, all that information should be featured on the Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
We're looking for vendors,
that out
of course.
Now. And we'll post up any links and whatnot on our web page for anybody interested or, you know, catching the show tonight. So we'll, by all means, we'll do that for sure. I know, the one time we came to one of your shows and you had the haunted, I didn't even know that you had some of the haunted items there. And when I walked into that gym, oh my gosh, I thought I was catching the flu. And it just really hit me, man. That was crazy. And
well, that one time that happened, right? Well, that one time that happened, that was the Betsy Bell doll that had that little the Luke Carey case with it.
Yeah,
I didn't know she was coming that day. Curtis Lee drove all the way from Virginia that day to give me that doll.
Oh.
And it was from a very dark case.
For me, it was when you opened up, brought up, it was a mask, wasn't it? The tribal mask of some kind?
That's the one that
I felt. As soon as you unpackaged that, I was like, woo, I felt that energy.
Yeah, I've got 3 of those now. Just interesting pieces.
You know, I guess I have a difficult time sometimes with, like, Native American energies, recognizing them like I would other kind of energies. And I've often thought that some of that might be because of a different kind of religious background, you know, like the Judeo-Christian background, and then the way the Native Americans sort of celebrated Mother Earth and the spirits of the earth and air and all that stuff. And so I noticed that that's a real weak spot of me. I mean, the Native American energies can be really bitch-slapping me, and I'm not aware until I'm all beat up. But I often wondered, you know, you get into that same kind of thing with some of these tribal masks and that. That's a different based religion as well. And that's sort of an earth-based religion, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of, unfortunately, with me being on a shoestring budget, I can't really get a lot of these larger places with multiple rooms per se, so it's hard to separate sometimes the different energies, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got items from, you know, demonic cases. I have items that are charged with positive energy for protection. I mean, I have World War II American items. I have World War II German items, you know, and there's just a lot of conflicting energy. But one thing I've noticed, though, at least with my collection, with the items, I can get an item that's super dark and, you know, very powerful, like the brick that came from the Moon River Brewery investigation that really,
oh, yeah,
really affected Dave. And it seems once they, it's like you throw it, when you throw it like a pebble into a lake, you have the splash, you have the ripples, and then and it calms down again. So it seems like, from my opinion and my experience with this, once I bring an item in that's, say, negatively charged, and they come into the collection and they realize they don't entirely rule the roost, if you know what I mean, that
yeah,
it tends to keep the item's energy close to just the item. So,
wow, that's fascinating. That's an interesting take.
Yeah, that specific energy becomes that little fish in the big pond now. And
wow,
yeah,
that is really neat. I really thank you for that perspective. That's something. Wow, that's
I'm doing something a little different though.
Yeah,
I'm doing something a little bit different with this one, and it's kind of a little an insight I have just yet. Of course, the museum will be always open to the public, but I'm going to start. I have one specific room that I picked out upstairs in the house, if you will, and I'm going to put all negatively charged or cursed items in the same room with each other. On purpose, basically. And it may sound ill-advised. I know. You know, where I stand spiritually, I know who I'm protected
sure
by. But I want to see how strong it can get. And I've always,
yeah,
people who have known me for a while do know that I can be a glutton for punishment. But I want to see what will happen.
Now, let me ask you, is there some kind of instrumentation or evaluation that you're going to utilize to try to determine, you know, I guess the collect, you know what I'm saying?
I'm guessing maybe if you were to put a millimeter in there, you could monitor the rise in, say, EMF level.
Well,
you know?
It really lends itself to a lot of neat investigative tools.
You're right.
And to see what
right
you get. And I hope you're planning on, you know, I guess documenting that on some kind of basis going forward to record that, because that would be absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm hoping on doing is there's a couple ideas I have for my private investigations. One thing is I don't want to be one of these locations, and I'm not pointing fingers, but like a lot of these upper echelon of locations where it's like $800,000, $1,200, or $2,000 to do that. When I started the museum, I started it on $50, and that was my initial budget for it. And I've always wanted it to be a place where any individual or any group, paranormal investigating group, whether they've been at it for a year or 10 years, where they can afford, you know, a place to come and conduct research for, you know, for their groups, for their YouTube channels, whatever they do. And
sure,
in turn, that also helps adds credit, or sometimes, you know, there's also debunking involved with some items.
Sure.
But
it
also helps strengthen the collection of the museum.
Well, I guess in those ends, we're sort of on a similar vein, you know, with this is our first foray into anything like this with the Hoover House. And, you know, we've been so busy getting set up and getting things together that we really haven't had much time yet
to investigate.
But in just this brief periods we've done sessions with some table tipping or whatever, It's really been neat. We've already had one session where an individual's parents came forward and sort of binded up those relationships. And for some reason, we seem to be pretty strong in this table tipping area, you know, for communication. And a number of spirits have sort of come out and sort of signed on to work with us in this endeavor to try to heal some relationships and to provide some closure. And time will tell. We're trying to document what we can. And, you know, it's funny because you've always got some naysayers or people trying to blow holes in what you're doing. But that's okay. If you know what's going on. You know when you're trying to be truthful and really work with Spirit. And I think Spirit wants us to get the true nature of communication with Spirit out there. And I think I'm sure that you felt that they've helped you along the way. Look at the growth in your museum.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's pretty... I know you've worked hard and all for it, but I don't think that happens without the cooperation from the other side. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, help with from the spirits. You know, there's a lot of times I've sat in the museum before a public or private event, or even before the day sometimes, you said, and I tell them, said, you know, as this is me talking to them, said, you know, this is a haven for you guys to reside, and in order to have this place, I do have to pay the bills for you guys. So
right, yeah.
If you want to communicate. If you don't, you don't have to. You know, I don't treat them like a circus sideshow. And I think a lot of other collectors do that. You know, it's all about the mystique. It's all about dressing the part, looking the part, sounding the part, and presentation. You know, I started the museum because I was intrigued. I was and am intrigued by the paranormal, and I do have a passion for the paranormal field, and I do like collecting. And you know, it started with my first few items, including the Annie pictures. You guys have met her multiple times already, and
yeah.
You know, because of that, you know, it's what I love to do, and I love, you know, everyone loves sharing a good ghost story too. And
sure.
So,
well, you know, that comes down to what we've always maintained, and that is respect. You respect the spirits, and they respect you, and I think it becomes a symbiotic relationship. I know the other week we were doing our show where Dave was showing the house off, and when we got to this one back, Pam, the other couple who's in this with us, she's acquired a number of pictures over the years, you know, of people. And we had a number of people joining in saying how they were picking up on spirits from the picture, or it was in the frame itself, or things like that. And, you know, so a lot of times that's the way we've been with these tables. I just walk into a store, and suddenly you get like tunnel vision. You're drawn to this simple table, and I go to touch it, and then sometimes it's like static electricity, and you go, whoa, there's some energies there. And then my sister will sit down with me, and the damn thing will start to twist left and right in the store. And we know there's energies in the table. And then when you wind up bringing it home, well, then the spirit oftentimes reveals itself. So I know this sounds crazy maybe to the unbelievers or to the skeptics, but I know you probably, when you get an object, especially with your experience now, you can tell right away the energies in that object.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a firm believer in spiritual discernment. So
there you go.
And
yep.
I think that, yeah.
And that's you know, for those out there, that is a definitive psychic tool, and it's also a religious tool, that power of discernment, and it goes beyond just evaluating an individual. It actually can broaden to a number of things. And I know you've had, you know, you have such an amazing collection there already, and I'm so glad to see that, you know, things are working out so well for you. And Span, I can't wait. We haven't been up to Moundsville now for a couple of years. We were supposed to do something at the Bel Air House last year, but
It got double booked.
It got double booked, and then
we backed out so the other team could have it. So
yeah.
We've got a free weekend coming to us at the Bel Air House.
So we'll be getting up there sometime soon and get over to see Kristen. And when we do, we certainly will, be by and see the museum and all that for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Just out of curiosity, how do you and the guys on the team go about choosing your next place for investigation?
Well, right now it's just kind of whoever finds one and gets it locked down, and then we go with that. Right now we're going to start trying something we kind of shied away from for a long time, and that's residential cases. It's just right now with the way work is, it's going to be easier doing local residential cases than traveling all over, creation to go to.
Yeah.
And it gets expensive. You know, some of these places are super expensive to
yeah.
go to. We do want to make it out there to your place for certain.
Well, by all means, give me a call. We'll work something out. You guys get. I'd love to have you come through it. I think you'll really be pleasantly surprised by the nature and the high vibrations that we've seen so far. Though it's funny, we've already found the, and I know he's probably, when we finish our show tonight, we're going to have a little table tipping session. We have one of our local psychic mediums with us, and we always get some nice action. The owner of this house, Ira, is very predominant in this house, and we sort of pick him up everywhere. And it's really interesting. I hope he doesn't get mad at me for saying this, but last week we were doing a session, a small little table tipping session, and Ira and his brother were very competitive in life. And his brother was a physician, and they sort of always were involved in one-upsmanship. And
carried that over to the other side of the
bed. It's carried to the other side. Oh, my gosh. If you mention anything about his brother, he gets so angry. And so I hope, Ira, I'm not meaning to insult you. I'm not asking you anything about your brother. I want to state that now. But it was really interesting to me how those type of grievances, let's say, can cross over. And I asked him if there was something we could do, and he pretty much came out and said if he wanted any help along those lines, he'd ask for it and for us to just basically go away. So I mean, I don't know. This field always amazes me.
Absolutely.
And see, now, one thing that I think you'll like about this place, Steve, aside from the obvious paranormal activity aspect of it is, I know that you're a big fan of history because of the research you do on all your artifacts, and I think that you're going to really enjoy the history of this house and the history of the people who built it and owned it and the town itself. We are, I believe it's 25 minutes from Gettysburg, about 10 or 15 minutes from Antietam and Sharpsburg. We are about 35, 40 minutes from Chambersburg, and what, maybe an hour and 10 minutes or so from Harper's Ferry in Shepherdstown.
I don't even think that makes
45 minutes. Right around us, we've got a mass of locations that are steeped in history from the Civil War period on.
There were five major Civil War battles that occurred here all within, say, a half hour's drive, and while the town wasn't involved in an actual conflict, the Southern forces on their way to Gettysburg came through town and occupied the town for about 10 days And General Lee himself was right about two blocks up from the house in Town Square and watered his horse Traveler. So that's pretty cool history.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So anyhow, we've got a lot of that all around us. And so, you know, and we're hope to have a multifaceted. So we're gonna have some events here that aren't at all connected to paranormal, but just like the Civil War history and some historians speaking and various avenues like that. Hopefully give the spirits a break.
Yeah. I tell you what, while I'm thinking about it, we also have our own, I don't want to forget this, we have our own haunted tour company called Journeys into the Supernatural, and we're also looking for locations to feature for that, where we would rent out the place and then sell tickets to. So that's another thing that would, if you felt would fit your location there, but something else maybe we could talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah,
help get
like
the name
said,
out there even more.
When it's convenient for you guys, let me know. We'll get you down here so you can get a feel for the place yourself and all that, and we could go from there.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
We got about I don't have my glasses on. We got about 15 minutes.
Okay. So
what's next for Steve Hummel? What's next for Steve Hummel and the museum, Steve Hummel Paranormal Quest? What's the next big thing you got going on?
Personally, I'm working on a degree in biblical studies, working on my second book on poetry and shorthand. Of course, I'm kind of backed up on art commissions, paintings and stuff like that for people. Got to get a few loose ends established for the museum to where it's up and ready to open by April 1st. Not quite sure what the schedule is going to be, not sure what the hours are going to be just yet. That's some of the things I have to iron out and get figured out. As for Paranormal Quest, we're running, gunning, and getting episodes shot. You know, that's what we're always trying to be on the go, and keep the wheels moving forward and keeping the views and the subscribers climbing. That's what we like doing and sharing our experiences.
All right. Well, Steve, it's been great talking with you, and we will certainly keep in touch and keep us informed of any changes, and we'll post up this information on our website for others to pick up on, and I guess we'll definitely be in touch going forward.
So, absolutely. Sounds good to me. Looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. Well, you take care, and it's great talking with you.
Hey, you too. You guys take care. Be safe, stay
okay.
warm, and
be safe, my friend.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
There we go.
Yeah, did that.
All right,
right.
Sorry, folks. Just, this is why Jim's not allowed to touch anything.
Right. I wanted to take a couple minutes of what time we have left to introduce you to a couple people. I know a lot of our regular viewers already know these people, but
before that,
yes.
Just while she has a chance to be on, we want to say a special. We miss you, we care, and we're here if you need us. Phone call away, best wishes, and our thoughts and prayers for Holly Cataldo and her husband,
AJ.
Potentially bad health news. We're not going to go too far into it because we don't want to put out anything that Holly's not ready for people to hear. But just so she knows that we're thinking about her. And we're a phone call away if you need us.
And prayers for both her and her husband would certainly be welcome.
Okay.
So guys, want to come over? We're going to, so just
go.
To let you know, with the Hoover House here, we've got a number of people that are helping us. First off, I want to introduce you to most of you know already, but she's a psychic medium, very talented young lady, Kyla Miner, and she basically operates the Mark Nesbitt's ghost tours of Gettysburg. So tell a little about this.
I run Mark Nesbitt's Ghost of Gettysburg Candlelight Walking Tours, and I help them with things that they need help with, paranormal investigations, or even us going out to do little things just with Mark and Carol.
So she's been great. Her and I are great partners at Tabletip, and the spirits seem to like the tag team. And she's already come in and given us a number of readings and perceptions and whatnot. And going forward, we plan on having a number of psychic fairs and all that with a number of individuals. I know we don't have any firm dates yet, but I know we're looking at getting Lloyd Johnson up here. We've already heard from Rob Gutro, the pet psychic, and we're going to have one of those avenues up here. And so we're going to be... What are these guys all laughing at?
They're making faces back there.
So we've got a bunch of jokesters here and stuff.
But I am looking forward to working with you on different cases and places.
And it really helps to have somebody so gifted so close by. They live up in Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
They keep... they unfortunately have a bunch of vagabonds that they live near. And so... We had to get those vagabonds out of their residence and bring them here. So, anyhow.
Oh, their my bad. I was like, wait, mine?
No, no. So, of course, our friends Pam and Steve, they have the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange up in town, and they share the same building with Kyle and her husband.
And Mark and
Carol. And a few resident spirits.
Yes.
Mrs. K is a delightful lady. She's very strong-minded, and she's very particular about who she lets in there.
Yes, she
How long does she let that guy in here?
It took a little bit for her to get
You know, she's
K is not like Steve for the longest time.
Thanks, man, Steve, for letting Flip in, isn't he?
So, you know, even in their own store, Steve is on eggshells.
Because between Hank and
Mrs. K
and Chuck, none of them like Flip. See, animals and spirits can't sense true evil.
But you guys will have to come back to the house and
investigate
a little bit more.
Mrs. K has invited us back, and we told her we're coming back, and we actually have a few new toys for her son.
Yes.
So I know we'll have to get over there and see that. Then we've got Pam and Steve that you know from the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange. They are now the host and hostess here at the house. God help us. But, anyhow, they're taking care of the house here. Pam's taking care of reservations and booking groups
Which
and all that stuff.
Me,
so
anyhow,
we actually have a Facebook page now, as I said earlier, the historic 1912 Hoover House. That has contact numbers for Pam, and you can see events will be posted on that page going forward.
The website's coming up too. Speaking of events, we're not going to tell you who because we don't want to give it away just yet, but Pam just confirmed.
Right, I know.
A very well-followed and solid investigation group that's going to be holding a public event here at the Hoover House. And
that'll be a good time.
If everything works well, we should be able to announce that next week on our two-hour show.
Yeah.
Now, and I should mention, I haven't known her long, but she's really developed into a very good friend, psychic medium Katie Turner from Canada. And she told us early on, I mean, a couple people sort of ridicule you and just say, oh, yeah, we got in touch with here and there. Oh, great, you're inventing ghosts. She said up front, she said, just ignore it. When the A-listers get in there and contact the spirits,
they'll
I don't make up things.
Right.
I always
talk about me.
And honestly, Going into this, we did not really know the spiritual content. We had been here when the realtors were here and walking through and picked up a few energies. We'd had a couple friends of ours walking through with us, and they picked up a few energies. But we really didn't have a good idea of what was here.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to the former owners who operated it as an upscale restaurant, and they were giving us a number of stories of experiences they had had. And then just in our short involvement, I hope somebody keeps
that
call.
I moved it.
Okay.
It was on the fence, and it was...
That would be too cool.
So I moved it over here.
We have a green ball in the corner that
so
we've been told there's
right
children
there.
Up on the third floor.
If it moves now.
We haven't really seen them yet, but the children were telling us they wanted a green ball. So I had a green ball over in the corner, and I noticed it moving. That's what sort of caught my attention there. I said, that'd be too cool. But anyhow, it's funny because Katie told me that. And one thing we had all picked up on here was that we felt all along that the bar in the basement was somehow connected with Prohibition. I've been down and smelled alcohol before. And Katie just tonight in watching the show basically sent Dave a line where she said, she was picking up on some
connection
between
the house,
connection
has something to do with
between the
with
house and
Prohibition.
Well, when I first did my walkthrough, too, the man who met me at the thing said, we did a lot of illegal activity down here.
That's right.
So,
you know, being built in 1912, this place went through when speakeasies were commonplace. That was the way people got their relief.
Yeah.
And so I have no doubt that along the way we'll probably connect with some. We've already connected up with at least two spirits from that period that have talked about that. And the one guy came out and was telling us this area has a lot of orchards. It's a strong fruit growing area. And this guy was just like an itinerant picker at the orchards and stuff. And this bar downstairs was his relief factor. And he's come through to that extent. So I think we'll
Silas, who gave us a last name, and didn't he give us a birth date?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the spirits are pretty neat about giving us background information, and of course then we're out trying to verify that. My wife is a very talented genealogist, and she's able to get a lot of great information. And we still have to visit the historic society here.
There's movement upstairs right now.
So that's our Katie's telling us there's movement upstairs. I have no doubt.
And
Terry
says
it's the
kids on the third floor.
Kids on the third
We've
floor.
We've been hearing that all day, huh, Pam? Movement back and forth upstairs all day.
Yeah.
So we need to get to the historic society. We've been told by Ira that we can get a picture of him there. And so our intention is to blow up a picture of Ira and hopefully Eleanor and to display them prominently in the house. So with that said, we're going to seal off for tonight. Join us next week. We have our guests are Earl and Marie Tufts from the state of Florida. You're heading down to Florida.
We've got guests
coming from Florida. So anyhow, they been to all the hot spots and have some EVPs and whatnot. So thanks for joining in tonight, and we ask you to support our various guests in their endeavors, and we wish you all a pleasant night.
Yep. And we are off the air. So
hit the end button. Am I allowed to hit it?